Second hour, Darren Donica, Chase here on this gorgeous Tuesday. Hope everybody's having a good day thus far. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Chase McCabe with you. Don't forget, you can watch us streaming live Monday through Friday on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube every day during the week. Our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Let's head over to the campus of Belmont. The Bruins have news you can use, and to pass that news along, their athletics director, Scott Corley, is on the line with us. Scott, how you doing?
I'm doing great. It's a great day.
I was going to say, if you didn't have anything other than that as your answer, I would probably tilt my head like my dog when he hears a weird noise. Like, what? Start with, how did all this begin? Obviously, we know there's been a shakeup in the OVC. Austin Peay announced they're leaving. You already had members leaving last year in Eastern Kentucky and Jacksonville State. But I guess just kind of take us through the process, if you could.
Yeah, you know, I think it really started probably in our campus where we had a change in leadership. You know, Dr. Fisher retired after 20 years. We brought in Dr. Greg Jones, and I think whenever a new president joins a university, they probably get calls from different conference commissioners. And so the Missouri Valley also has a new conference commissioner in Jeff Jackson. And so Jeff, doing his job, reached out to Greg and, you know, took the opportunity to say, hey, I know you're new. We'd love to talk to you, tell you a little bit about what the Missouri Valley is and looking to do. And, you know, Greg reached out to me, asked my opinion on that. I said, you know, given all that is going on and, you know, the NCAA Division I with conference affiliation, I think we would be wise to at least talk and see what those conversations sound like. And, you know, those things kind of sped up, certainly. We had a really good talk with Jeff initially, loved his vision, loved the idea that it's a basketball-centric conference. While they play football, it is about basketball for them, which aligns with us. They want to grow in metropolitan markets. Obviously, Nashville is very attractive to them. And then they understood our, you know, just what we've done athletically and academically. And so we really had a good conversation. Then we had the site visit with some presidents. They liked what they saw. We continue to like what we heard. And, you know, this thing kind of certainly moved quick. And some of that is, you know, there is some instability at the OVC. And, you know, when Austin Peay made their decision, you know, we had to really decide, you know, how quickly did we want to move. We actually thought it was in the best interest for all parties to move quicker than not. And so that got us here in a short amount of time. I think all that started probably in mid-June, and here we are a couple months later. So it went fast, but it's the right decision for us, and I think that's what allowed it to move fast. Is anyone I talk to on the board, chairman of the board, you know, all the trustees, they just said this is a no-brainer. We need to do it.
I know what you just laid out with the you know, the uncertainty of the OVC conference. Or OVC, that's redundant. I don't know why I said OVC conference.
That was the Woody Woodenhofer move right there.
It's like, let me go to the ATM machine. Redundant. So
NIT tournament.
Yes, that one too. We could go on and on. Sorry, Scott. I digress. So when you talk about the uncertainty of the conference that you're currently in, but how much of it with the success of Rick Byrd and the success of Casey Alexander now and the success of the basketball program, like people around the country are now fully aware of Belmont basketball. And we all know the OVC, it was going to take unusual set of circumstances to get two teams. You knew going in you had to win the tournament or else, right? You weren't getting in the NCAA tournament. Well, I don't believe that's the case with the Missouri Valley Conference. I mean, they're a pretty darn strong conference, and they've got some really good teams. The fact that they can get multiple teams in the NCAA tournament, did that factor into this at all?
Oh, that's 100%. I mean, this move is more about moving our program forward and getting into a conference like the Missouri Valley. So I do want to make that clear. That was a huge part of it, and it's, you know, not just basketball, but that's the most important, certainly, and it's men's and women's basketball. And that is very attractive. I mean, obviously, the year we had last year going 26-4 and not even getting an NIT bid was very sobering, and it speaks to, you know, you got to win those three games in Evansville from the OVC, where now it gives you a little margin of error. Now, the offset to that, Darren, is, you know, the likelihood that we're going to win 21 games in a row in a conference like the Missouri Valley is going to be a lot more challenging than the 21 games we won last year, non-conference and conference. But you get my point. And really, when you look at the Missouri Valley, it's not just basketball. I mean, volleyball's had multi-bids in 15 out of the last 17 years. Men's soccer's had 17 years of at-large bids. And so I do think it gives all of our student-athletes a greater opportunity to get into the NCAA tournament, which we all know that's what these student-athletes want to experience. But what's exciting on the basketball side is once you get in the tournament, since 2012, the Missouri Valley is 12-1 in first-round NCAA tournament games. So you go in with a greater opportunity to win. You'll get a higher seed, more than likely, because the strength of schedule is better. And you've just been hardened by coming through a very challenging conference schedule. I think it gives you a better chance to win. And as you know, as our programs in basketball continue to grow, that's the next step for us, right? You know, win a game or two in that NCAA tournament on the men's side, and for the women to continue, you know, to win that second game and get to the Sweet 16. So I think the Valley gives us that opportunity.
What's your mindset, Scott, watching this shift all around you? The music's playing and everybody's, you know, looking for a chair to sit in before the music stops with these conferences, and everybody's, you know, scrounging everywhere, and there's this shift everywhere that's been going on in athletics. What do you make of that, and where do you think ultimately this is all going? Is this going to eventually settle down, or are you a little surprised at what's been going on over the last, let's say, 6 months or so? 6 months or a year?
Well, I mean, certainly Texas, Oklahoma caught everybody by surprise in the industry, and that has led to a lot of this. You know, where did the dominoes, you know, end up? And you can see the shifts going on. It does have a domino effect when you have two schools like that make that move. It you know, the reaction from the Big 12 was understandable. They're trying to stay together, so they're going to poach, and it just kind of leads from there. So in a way, I'm not surprised once those two moves were announced. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, every school's got to look at their own situation and decide, you know, what is the best fit for them. You know, leaving conferences is not easy. I can tell you that. I'm doing it. It's not easy. It's not an easy decision. And you got some commissioners that are out there, you know, trying to do different things. And, you know, the A-Sun has a certain strategy. And, you know, I'm fully confident that Beth and the OVC will find some schools to join the OVC to stabilize those types of things. So it's definitely, you know, as an AD, you've got to keep your eyes and ears open. And ultimately, you got to do what you think is best for your own program.
Talking to Scott Corley, athletics director at Belmont. They have announced that they're headed to the Missouri Valley Conference. And Scott, I wonder too, just the flow of travel and the way the league is spread out. I know you probably put a lot of thought into that, but tell me how different that will be for the kids, you know, to go from, you know, a much more regional, compact, geographic league like the OVC to what is going to be.
Yeah, that's certainly the biggest change for us. You know, and that was one of the things we loved about the OVC. It was a bus league. You know, you could, you know, a lot of times we just drive up the day of a game, play the game, and drive back. So it's, you know, student athletes weren't missing as much class, those types of things. But, you know, as the OVC continues to go through change, you know, the schools that they may bring in may not be such a geographic fit either. You know, you lose a Jacksonville State 3.5 hours, Eastern Kentucky 3.5 hours. You lose Austin Peay, obviously 45 minutes. So, you know, when you weigh kind of the increased travel, and there's no doubt it will be, Northern Iowa, Drake, you know, Missouri State. I mean, those are plane rides and then some bus rides, you know, on top after the plane lands. But I do think, you know, when you weigh all the pros and cons and you look at the different type of markets that we're going to be able to get in with Chicago and St. Louis, where they've hosted the men's basketball tournament 32 years in a row, those are really attractive markets. That St. Louis, 4.5 hours away. I mean, you got Evansville, you've got Southern Illinois. I mean, you still have some schools that are bussable, but clearly, and we knew that was part of the decision tree, is we knew there'd be more travel, which would lead to some increased cost. And, you know, we also understand that our student athletes may miss a little bit more class time, but knowing our student athletes, they will continue to take care of business in the classroom. We've got, you know, we've won the academic trophy 18 out of the last 20 years in the conferences we were in. So I think we can cover that. But, you know, in some ways, some of these kids may be excited to get on a plane and go play somewhere.
Sure.
But that is the biggest change, Willie, no doubt.
Yeah, and certainly where they're playing, that they have some great atmospheres with crowds and
exactly.
Things like that. And that was my next question, too. You know, it's always fun to watch a game on TV where you're at a place where the people care. Like in that region of the country, man, they love their college basketball, and that is the main thing to do in those towns. So I'm curious, too, Scott, the exposure about, you know, television and things like that. I know a lot of the games these days, regardless of the league, are streamed. But what about television exposure and maybe what that will do to non-conference scheduling opportunities for you?
Yeah, I mean, they are also part of ESPN Plus, but they do have you know, some media contracts with Bally's and I think the Fox Sports in Chicago, you know, which will give us certainly different exposure to help, you know, the media contract. I'm still learning some of the nuances, Willie, but I believe it comes due in 2025. And so I think adding us, you know, gives hopefully a little bit more potential to negotiate a more favorable media contract and things like that. But that is clearly part of it. And you're right. I mean, the venues we're going to get to play in and the crowds and the energy that's going to be in those buildings, I think our student athletes are going to really value. You know, as an example, Evansville, which hasn't had the most success in men's basketball, they still average over 5,000 fans a game. And so they come out and support. So all of that is exciting. You know, the media markets, I do believe, are going to be better. You know, it's still predominantly going to be a lot of ESPN Plus, but just the men's basketball tournament championship game is on national TV, CBS. So that right there is exciting to think about.
We're talking to Scott Corley, the athletic director at Belmont, as they announced they'll move to the Missouri Valley Conference beginning in the fall of 2022. Willie asked about non-conference scheduling. Obviously, there is one game that's, or really has been two games that are very important to people around here. How do you anticipate this affecting the Lipscomb rivalry? Is only one game going to be played between the two schools this year? I know it's very early in the process, but how would you view that moving forward?
Yeah, I don't see the non-conference schedule changing much, Chase. I mean, with 11 schools, I would assume the Missouri Valley will do, you know, play each school twice, so that's 20 conference games. The OVC has historically been 18. We went to 20 last year just with the COVID season. So it still affords us some opportunities, and certainly the Lipscomb game is important to both us and Lipscomb. So I don't see that game changing at all. You know, if anything, maybe it, you know, I may be way ahead of myself here, but, you know, Murray becomes a non-conference game, and maybe we could schedule, you know, Murray home and homes, or, you know, every year kind of rotating places to try to keep that great rivalry. So I don't think it changes a whole lot with our non-conference schedule and the way our coaches go about scheduling. They want to play really good, tough non-conference schedules. I think it'll help prepare us for the Missouri Valley. So I think right now, and I don't want to speak for Casey and Bart, but that's kind of where my mindset is.
Obviously, the future is very exciting with this announcement and joining the Valley, but you have to be excited about this upcoming season as well when it comes to, you know, especially talking about the men's basketball team, what Casey has put together, all the players coming back. How pumped are you to get this thing going?
We're very excited. If anything, trying to keep our expectations in check because, you know, we think it has the potential to be a very, very special year. Obviously, we got a lot of talent coming back, a lot of, you know, great coaching with Casey at the helm. We've got a great schedule that affords us the opportunity to really make some noise on a national level if we can win. You know, I think it all aligns, but we all know it's sports, it's athletics. You know, you got to stay healthy. You got to make sure you don't have a bad call go against you, you know, for everything to fall in place. But we're as optimistic as ever. You know, it'll be fun to see us in the Orlando tournament. Our first round game is against Drake, which will be a conference opponent next year, and they're picked in the top three of the Valley, so that'll be a good measuring stick for us. And if, you know, we can win that game, we'll probably play Alabama, and who knows. I just feel very, very confident with the coaching staff and the type of just players we got back, mix of, you know, experience and youthful talent. And so, yeah, I'm just trying not to get too ahead of myself, but it'll be fun.
No doubt about it, and we're looking forward to it. I know you got to wait a little bit until next year, but big news nonetheless. Thanks for joining us and passing all that information along, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Always a pleasure, guys. Appreciate it. Thanks.
That is Scott Corley, Belmont Athletics Director. It is huge news. Currently, they've got Illinois State, Southern Illinois, Bradley, Valpo, Evansville, was it Northern Iowa, Indiana State, Missouri State, Drake, and Loyola in that basketball conference. There's no football.
Loyola, yes, that Loyola. Remember that?
Is it Loyola of Chicago,
yes.
Sister Jean?
Oh, yes. They will be in that league.
Oh, wow.
That is their league.
That's going to be fun.
By the way, Sister Jean, I think last time I checked, is 102 years old. That is awesome.
Oh, yeah.
It really is, I think, a very special basketball league. There's so much credibility, I think, even though the teams have changed. Like Wichita State was a big staple in that league for a long, long time, and they're not there anymore. But, you know, that league, regardless of the change, you go back to Indiana State, you know, with Larry Bird. You got some history in that league, and in places to play that have some history and have a following. It's gonna be fun. And I'll tell you, this particular Belmont team, I believe, are a top 25 team. I think as stacked as they are, let's see how they do in these non-conference games, because that's the test. Like he just said, they're gonna get a chance to play some teams that they couldn't play last year, but they absolutely annihilated their competition for the most part last year. I think they're good enough to win some of these games. I think they could get some traction as a top 25 team this year.
I hate to say this because I hate this for the OVC, but, you know, with all these departures and the uncertainty, who knows?
This kind of caught me by surprise. I did not know that this was coming.
But yeah, here's the deal, though. I think this is actually the best thing that, because this is a great landing spot for them. Like, as much as I love, you know, OVC here in our backyard, but that push because of that, I mean, you just heard Scott say it. I mean, Missouri Valley gets – multiple teams in, right, in the NCAA tournament.
They have,
like, you do not have to
much
win
easier.
Their tournament. They've had some really good program years where they had really good teams. People were talking about the Missouri Valley Conference a lot, and when it comes to basketball. So I just think in the end this is going to be – so that makes them 11 members. My guess is they'll probably try to pull one more in, right, make it a 12-team league, wouldn't you think?
I would think so.
Or try for Murray State. I mean,
ooh,
Murray State geographically makes sense.
The one.
And if
that...
you get, now listen to this too. Since 2008, assuming, so obviously this includes Belmont.
By the way, that sounded like a fireworks show, right? When Elijah said that, we all went,
well, I think because we all had the same thought. Like it's a perfect match. If you could grab those two.
So as of right now, with including Belmont, that would be four teams in the since 2008 that have won NCAA tournament games with them, Bradley, Drake, and Loyola Chicago. Add Murray State, that's five different teams that not have just appeared in the tournament but have won games in the NCAA tournament. That'd be
a
pretty big deal.
Loyola went to the Final Four.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me ask you guys this, because I know you guys, I think I was still producing, but it was a pretty big deal.
Well, actually, Indiana State went to the national championship game, if you remember.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Wichita State went to the Final Four.
Yeah.
Larry Bird.
Wichita State's been to multiple Final Fours. You want to go back?
Yeah. But they're not in it anymore.
Not anymore.
But do you guys...
But they did it from that league, is my point.
Do you guys feel when, and I, you know, I, it's our city, but when the OVC tournament left Nashville, that's really when it felt like, okay, well, you know, nobody around here is going to pay attention. I mean, I'm being honest. So it goes to Evansville. The tournament
ironically,
leaves.
It goes to Evansville, right?
Which yeah. And it just, I feel like that move really, really hurt them.
There's also never underestimate the importance of the football dynamic here. As much as we watch the basketball more, I think from where we sit, the football finances drive so much. There's something going on there, and I don't pretend to know what's happening there. But it's a tricky thing, especially at that level. What is football? Mm-hmm. And what's the importance of football in that league? And do you have to play football? Do you not have to play football? You know, clearly
well,
for Belmont. Clearly
Murray
for Belmont.
Football.
Right. So it's a different formula for Murray State with football than it is for Belmont
with
no football.
Yeah, but how do you do that? Because that is a good point. Right now, they don't have any – none of those teams – well, I guess that's not true, right?
Missouri Valley has football.
They have very good football. North Dakota State's technically in the Missouri Valley in football, and they win the national title FCS.
They have great football. I got to do a game a few years ago in that league. It's a tough league.
Yeah, but you know, like you said, Darren, I hate this for the OVC. We've, you know, enjoyed the rivalries and having so many teams that are around here in the OVC.
Yep.
You know, with Belmont and Austin Peay and TSU and so that's tough. And Beth DeBush, their commissioner, has been great to us as well. Yep. But
it just doesn't feel like when Scott said Beth DeBush will go out and they'll get someone. I don't know if
they've lost some heavy hitters.
They've lost, yeah. They've
and if they lose Murray,
but every league has to do it though. It's like every league has to be prepared. They have to have.
Where's their pool? Where are they?
That's the question.
You know, where are they going to be dipping? I don't know where are you getting.
You know,
who are you pulling over to you?
It's a really good question. I don't know. I wonder if the domino effect goes down to a school like Trevecca or a school like Cumberland, unique situations, Division II in one case, dominant NIA program in another. Everything evolves. That's the one thing we know. Like, oh,
and it's kind of like they did when they pulled Belmont out of the A-Sun.
Once upon a time, I would have said there is no way that Belmont and Lipscomb are going Division I. They dominate NAIA. Why would they want everyone to leave? They contend for a national title every year. And then here we are 20 years later, and – you see where they sit. So everything is always a constant evaluation and what's best for the school, for the athletic program, et cetera.
We will come back. We'll head east. We'll head to Knoxville. We'll talk to our man Vince Ferrara. But first, Willie, you're going to tell everybody about Loan Pronto.
Okay, let me tell you about Loan Pronto. You know that I've been preaching this philosophy that Loan Pronto believes in, and I think it's a great match for you. I've refinanced my home. I shouldn't say I. My family. We have refinanced our home multiple times. We've been living in the same house for about 20 years now. And it's always a good move. But what we discovered back in the day was, man, it had a lot of paperwork. It took a lot of hassle. Man, it took a long time to get from point A to point B, which is what you're looking for, to lower that mortgage rate. That's the beauty of Loan Pronto, is they have a digital process now that streamlines the process. Most loans get done in 14 days or so. So that is really convenient for you. But at the end of the day, the net result long term is you're going to lower that mortgage payment. And in the short term, you get to skip the next couple of payments, which is huge for those of us on the budget. Who couldn't use that extra little space to do some things with your budget? And speaking of that, if you need cash right now and you've got some debts you need to pay off with college tuitions or credit cards that have rolled up a little bit, that's an option for you as well with Loan Pronto. You can take some money out of your home's equity and then put it towards that or reinvest in your home with a home improvement project. All of this is available to you with Loan Pronto. So take a look, because the mortgage rates are really low right now. That's to your advantage. 615-499-5780. 615-499-5780. Or go online at loanpronto.com. Equal housing lender.
NMLS 1661781. Subject to lender approval. Not all loans eligible for zero cost option.